I sat down with the idea of I'm never seeing this money again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just here for the free drinks.
Yep.
I went back to 21-year-old mentality instead of realizing that Michelob Ultra is $4. You can just buy it. Like, you don't have to slam them, you know? But I was like, well, they're taking my money. I got to get something for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Two Michelob Ultras, whiskey and a Coke. What do you want? You want something?
Drinking heavy or traveling light. There's one thing that's right wherever I go. That's where I am.
What's up, everybody? What am I doing with my arms? This is how you start a podcast. This is my podcast. This is called This Week in Zoltan. This is episode, would I say 373 or 273?
I have no idea.
Three. Let's go with three. Who cares? Welcome. Does it matter? Is there anyone? I would love, you know how like Star Trek fans have super nerds where, you know, they're like, oh, in episode five, you said this, but in episode six, you had two heads, and then they like decipher. I don't think anyone's doing that with this show. I think it's low stakes.
I think so.
Low stakes. That's the name of today's episode. Welcome to the show. I'm all hopped up on my Dunkin' Midnight Roast that we got with new employees. Isn't that the best when a Dunkin' has new employees and you just go up to the counter and you're like, two Midnight Dark Roasts, please. One with one milk and the other one just black. And you get a blank stare back like you're going through foreign customs and you're holding a machine gun and a kilo of cocaine. And they're just looking at you like, huh? And I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those. And that's why Mike ended up with like a big purple drink. Because they heard one midnight roast and one iced purple drink.
One purple energy fizz.
Yeah, that's
three things I would never order individually, let alone together.
That's wild that they heard that.
It's so funny. Not only is it wild that they heard that, but it's like the blank expression that they gave us back when I said this was wrong. I was like, no, two of these. And then they were like his expression didn't change. If he was an actor, he would have gotten an Oscar for the role of a blank-faced employee.
For the role of about to be fired.
It's crazy because they weren't even busy. Like,
no!
We were the only ones there.
Yeah, we were the only ones there, and there was like one guy in the back. Everyone was like running around. It looked like they were trying to clean up a murder in the back. And then this one guy's like, hi! And then just blank stared us.
I like when you show up into a restaurant or something, and they look at you and they're like, oh, hey! Like, oh, I'm sorry, did I interrupt by coming into the place of business? And I worked in service my whole life before I became a comedian, but I was just like, you see, then you're like, I understand Karen's a little bit.
You get a little older and you're like, you're doing your job wrong.
Yeah.
Remember the bar, Halyards? When we went in there, they had a comedy show, but one time we went in there during the day and we didn't know if they were open.
The door was
open, but like it looked, I wasn't 100% sure it was open or if the front door was only open because they're taking, you know, deliveries.
And we went in at like an odd hour.
Yeah, we went in at like 3. And yeah. I was like, well, let's have a beer, you know, because I have an alcohol issue. And we go in and the bartender looks like he's working. And I'm like, excuse me, are you open? And he's like, is the door open? And I went, oh, that's pretty aggressive. And then Emma's like, or you said that. And then we just left.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not staying here.
Yeah, and then we just walked out. We're like, oh, if that's how you're gonna do this, I can suppress my alcoholism for another afternoon.
Yeah, you know, there's other bars right next door. I'm sorry, I entered the exclusive home of alcohol. I should have shown more respect.
But it was kind of a throwback to what I think Gowanus, Brooklyn would have been, you know, 30 years ago.
If it was the reality, it'd be like, are you guys open? It's like, I don't know. Are you my Adderall dealer? I don't think so.
Are you here to give me fentanyl? I don't like the way that went. Before we get too into the weeds on illicit substances, let's give homage, pay homage, or talk about our one and only sponsor here at the podcast This Week in Zoltan. I don't know why I'm snapping. But it's the Safe Journal. The Safe Journal is a journal, and it's organized so you can organize your thoughts instead of just having a messy paper with a bunch of blabberings of a lunatic. You're going to have organized feelings of how you feel on certain days, certain dates, certain weather types. And there's all sorts of tools in the front. There's an emotions wheel. There's a big ass couple pages of different emotions. Like if you don't want to, if your vocabulary is small, much like mine, and you want to expound upon the fact that you cry when the sun sets, you can find the word that you want to use in the front part. That's not the only tool it has. There's a bunch of others. Conversation starters, journal entry starters, and for a limited time only, it's not limited, but you can get 25% off by typing in Zoltan at checkout, and I will write you a handwritten note. And I wrote like 7 of them yesterday. And I'm getting better at my handwriting, and I'm having a lot of weird fun writing these notes.
You're saying a lot of weird things in those notes.
I am saying a lot of weird things. A lot of PIN numbers. I'm slowly putting my PIN number in each note. So if a couple of you get together and you conspire with the notes that I send out, you might be able to decipher my PIN number to my one and only bank account. So that's fun. Safejournal.co. Zoltan at checkout, 25% off, and a handwritten note. And buy some journals, because we had a rough start to the business this morning. Isn't that right, Emma?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Claudia Smith.
Oh, we're giving the names! Yes! Yes! Suck it, Claudia.
Good old Claudia Smith ordered 3 journals in 2 separate orders, and she waited for them to be delivered.
Or to be shipped.
No. She waited for them to be out for delivery.
Okay.
And then she filed for a chargeback.
So she asked for a refund after she already knew she was going to get the product.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked up her address, which we're not going to give out. That might be illegal.
I won't give out her
address. Join the Patreon. Is there a Patreon?
If you join the Patreon, you can watch me take a dump in a box we will be mailing to her address.
The not-so-safe journal. That is for Claudia.
She lives in a big-ass mansion.
Ah, yeah, that's the kicker. We looked up her address. She lives in a big-ass house in Vermont.
Yeah, Virginia.
Virginia?
It is in Virginia.
Virginia. She lives in a big-ass mansion in Virginia. And you know what, Claudia? I've only met 2 or 3 Claudias in my life. I've never liked either of them. And you just you made it on the list of Claudias that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Claudia should be the Karen. I've met some nice Karens. I've met some nice people named Karens. I've never met a nice Claudia. Hey, anyone?
I don't know
this?
A single Claudia.
I don't know.
I know a Claude. Maybe that's Claudia.
Oh, yeah, that's the French Claudia. And I've also never met a nice Claude.
Well, she's sweet, so I guess I like all Claudias so far.
Oh, that's a Claude is a woman's name?
Claude yes. Van Damme? Isn't that a...
That's
Jean Van Damme.
I'm glad I didn't put the camera on you for that one, so you can pretend that wasn't you.
You know what? You know how there was 2 Gallaghers? There was probably 2 Van Dammes.
That was his brother.
Yeah.
He was in Bloodsport, too.
Yeah. Claude Van Damme was the other Van Damme in the movie Double Impact when there was 2 of them.
To be fair, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
There we
so
go.
So you didn't I have it wrong, but yeah, it wasn't right, you know?
I'm hot from embarrassment.
Oh, no, don't be.
That's so funny.
Who cares? That would be great if there was
abbreviating.
I would love to watch a movie starring Claude Van Damme.
It actually took me until I said it that I was like, oh, wait, that is his second name?
Yeah.
There we go. I wasn't completely wrong.
And I think his full name, because obviously, I don't know if you know this, but Van Damme is not his real last name. Mm-hmm. It's like Van Dammenberg and Klorgen Dorgan.
You know, I don't even know who that is. I've heard you say his name so many times.
Yeah. I made you watch Kickboxer, where his brother gets paralyzed by Kung Po. Messed up his name. Whoever the villain was in Kickboxer paralyzes his brother in a kickboxing match, and then he trains in the mountains of Thailand to go fight Kung Po. I think his name's Kung Po. Remember they fight in the jungle and he's wearing like a little like Tarzan leotard, and then they put on gloves and they put glue with glass in them. They put the glass, and then he can't fight with the thing, and then he's like, cut him off. And then the girl, Mai Li, cuts off the thing, and then for some reason, once these gloves are off, he turns into a badass. It's like
because
Hulk Hogan.
The gloves are off.
Yeah,
bud.
The gloves are off. It's like Hulk Hogan hulking up at the end after the villain gives him the finisher. He's like, I'm not gonna be beat. That's Van Damme. Once these gloves come off, now he can kick higher. He's doing all this stuff. Did you hear my knee pop when I threw
sure
that kick?
Did.
Tong oh, Po, yeah.
Kung Po.
Tong
yeah.
Po.
Kung.
Tong with a T.
Tong.
Like you're scooping, like you're grilling.
There you
Tong.
Go. Tong
and also Jean-Claude Van Damme's real name. Jean-Claude Camille Francois Van Varenberg.
Whoa. There you go.
I think someone saw that and went, damn, and he goes, better. And then he took it.
Francois.
I would go with Jean-Claude Francois. That rhymes better.
Yeah.
Feels better on the tongue.
I liked Van Damme a lot better than Mr. Seagal, Steven Seagal. You know Dane's dad? We have,
I'd rather punch glass without gloves than like Jean-Claude Van Damme or Steven Seagal.
Well, my good buddy Dane, his dad is a helicopter pilot in San Diego. And so a lot of times, like, you know, people will, you know, rich people will book like a helicopter ride to wherever the hell. And one time he saw Steven Seagal's name on the manifest. And he's like, whoa, I'm going to give Steven Seagal a ride. And it wasn't. It was just some guy named Steve Seagal. And I was like, can you imagine expecting to see big, hefty, dumb Steven Seagal and then just a businessman shows up? Hi, I'm Steve Seagal. I'm here for the helicopter ride to Catalina Island. Yeah.
I hope you didn't think I was Steven Seagal.
he presents his hand in a handshake like a karate chop. He's like, Steve Seagal, pleased to meet you. Oh, this is a silly episode. This is the first one we have back ever since we worked together in, we had the best time in Vegas that I've ever had.
And
it was
I've
the best time
had,
you've
yeah.
ever had. Mike, you don't have to join in. If it wasn't your favorite time in Vegas, then it doesn't have to be.
Third time in Vegas ever. First time as an adult with, like, you know, reasonable income.
Yes.
And had a blast.
It's so fun.
It was truly everything that I wanted Vegas to be.
It was perfect.
Yeah. The right. Very high highs, couple low lows. It was a party.
But the low lows were comical.
The low lows were great. The low lows were more fun, I think, because every time it was getting bad, I would look over to you guys, and you were all smiles, and then you, Zoltan, you were like, I'm having the best time. As things were going horribly wrong, you were like, this is a lot of fun, guys. I was just really enjoying watching you enjoy the bad stuff.
I want bad experiences. Like, I don't, like, when I think of Vegas, I don't think of sitting at a high rollers table in a tuxedo gambling, and then, you know, like, that's not how I see it. I see it on the low end.
Yes.
I see it like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and in where you're on the cheap tables and you're there with people with scars and flight attendants who think they know where everyone's from just by the way they say hello, and that's who I want to be around. And that's why when that redneck so this is what happened. It took us a while to find a table because we wanted to go to the cheapest table available. Mm-hmm. And originally you tried to teach us craps at the Venetian
Aria.
The Aria. Yeah. Yeah.
That wouldn't stick.
And but I'll also
I'm also a bad teacher.
No,
I found out.
It's just hard.
No, we're just dumb. We're also not that great at it.
Yeah.
Also I just really learned how to play. So like me, it's like I took 3 days of Spanish and I'm trying to teach people Spanish. I'm like, I don't even know the words here. Do you know Kate Sisk? Great comic.
No.
She has a really funny joke. She's like, I taught preschool Spanish. And the principal's like, oh, you have enough Spanish knowledge to teach preschool Spanish? She goes, yeah, so do you. Nobody knows how to speak Spanish.
Rojo means red.
Hola.
Hello is hola.
Yeah, but that's how, like, I have such a rudimentary knowledge. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, I think the part of craps that confused me the most is that you don't lose for a while.
Yeah.
Where, as opposed to roulette, you lose every time that ball stops. Every time that ball stops, everyone either has won or lost.
Yes.
And then the tables reset.
Yeah.
But with craps, it doesn't reset unless a couple things happen.
Correct.
And that's the part learning the thing that could happen to end and finally lose your money, yeah. I think was hard for me to get.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
also, and this is the reason I liked going to Old Vegas, because we eventually ended up at the Golden Nugget. I didn't care for the people we were standing at that table with. Like, I liked you. Obviously, I liked you. But then there was like that business.
She was there too.
Yeah, Emma, okay, I love okay. her.
Let's make sure.
Yeah.
Thank but, you.
But outside of the three of us,
yeah.
it was like that business guy standing next to you.
Yeah,
in like
it was
a
tough.
Coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't like the way he threw the dice. Like, he would
Maybe
touch
go
him.
Like this.
And he would do this. It was like, I just didn't care for it.
That's the thing about crafts, is everyone's got their own little, like,
yeah.
even me. Like, I like to put, like, for some reason, I just like having two fours. Like, the dice 4 and 4, and then I'll throw it.
Okay.
But everyone's got their own little, like, circle, touch, throw, you know, it's all.
You weren't pretentious about it.
In my head, I was.
Oh, okay.
I was like, this is the one, baby. Yeah.
That's actually the only reason I think I'd want to get into craps, is I'd like to have an extravagant way of throwing the dice. Yeah. Like, maybe putting both in and then blowing as I throw it. Just.
My first night at the Mirage, before the weekend, I played craps at a $10 table, and there was this drunk lady that kept throwing the dice off the table. It was the best. Like, that was like the most fun at craps you can have. Packed with people, everyone's drunk, two people smoking cigarettes in your face, and this lady just kept being like, rah, throwing them off the table. I was just like, this is the worst and the best night of my entire life.
See, I like that. We didn't have those characters in front of us at the Aria.
Yeah, no,
and the Aria is very nice.
Sure.
It felt very safe. I don't want to feel safe. I like a sense, and you've traveled with me enough. Where do I enjoy the most when we travel?
Yeah,
when
you like a sense the of grittiness.
I like
and
grit.
And I say it's because you haven't been mugged yet. That's why you like it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't. Yeah. Well, I like the feeling that a mugging is coming soon.
Again, join us on the Patreon. You can mug Zoltan. Once we hit 100 patrons.
You pointed out a creepy guy on the... on the subway platform today. Mm. He had long hair, he had a mustache, which I don't like, and then he had a mustache, and he was watching the French news on his phone, and he had a camouflage rain jacket, and he just looked kind of shifty. He is a shifty fella. And you're like, this guy keeps standing near us.
Yeah, and he kept looking at us, too.
Yeah, he kept looking at
us. Side-eyeing
us. Yeah, he gave us a little, how do you do? Which, these days in New York, that's a win. Like, there's women getting punched in the face at random. Yeah, yeah. There's people being shoved. There's people being stabbed, shot. So if there's just a creepy guy who's just giving you one of these, look at him and say thank you. Thank you for not doing more, you know?
Yeah.
But then we walked away from him. Then he came over.
Mm-hmm.
He came over, and then I remember making eye contact with him. And then he saw me, and then he kept walking and went to this other part. I was just letting him know, I see you. I see you. I hope he doesn't notice that the jacket I was wearing was constricting, so I wouldn't be able to turn over my punches. I'd be doing little alligator punches if this thing got heated. But you got a good eye for that. And me, yeah. I like being around a little bit of ick, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that. It's fun.
You like having the stink on you a little bit.
A little.
Yeah.
Like when we finally found a table to play, I don't even remember what the minimum was, but it was the lowest we could find.
I think it was five.
$5?
Five, yes. Or, yeah.
Yes.
Five or ten, but it was...
I think it was five. Yeah, maybe it was ten.
Yeah,
it
might
have been ten. Yeah.
But we found this table, and people got up, and we sat down. And for a second, it was just the three of us,
yeah.
which was great. And then the flight attendant showed up. And as soon as she sat down, she's like, I'm a flight attendant, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I bet Spirit. She said Spirit.
Yeah.
And remember how she was defensive, because it took me a while, and I'm like, what airline? And she's like, I used to work for Delta. She was very quick to tell me she used to work
yeah.
for Delta. And then she's like, now I work for Spirit. But you know what? I think Spirit's great. And then I never asked any of this. I didn't even give her a look when she said Spirit. I was like, that's an airline. People got to work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And
Delta flight attendants aren't allowed to say Delta. If you ask, they're not allowed, technically allowed to tell you.
Oh, really?
Serious?
When they're off the clock. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I found that out when a flight attendant was talking to me at a bar not too long ago.
Really?
And I asked her what she did, and she said, flight attendant. I go, Delta? She goes, how'd you know? I was like,
the purple outfit?
Yeah. He didn't tell me. She's like, yeah, we're not allowed to tell people.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very true. Because if they're out drinking and stuff, you know, they don't want people like, I don't know, it's a stupid rule.
As opposed to, maybe that's why this lady no
She's
longer
like,
works
for, woo! Yeah.
She no longer works for Delta, because she was out there going, Delta.
You can't tell people you work for Delta if you're drinking. You can't work for Spirit unless you're drinking.
Yes. Yeah. And spent and dropping $1,300.
Bro.
What did she lose?
Like
thousands?
$3,000, I think.
Thousands.
I counted three.
You can,
but
three.
I think there was more.
She was putting at least $600 every 5-10 minutes. She was losing, and then she just kept,
Yeah, and then when she came to our table, she was like, "I need to win some back."
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was her opening statement to the table. I need to win back what I've lost.
Yeah.
And that was not like a for the day. That was like, I've had a bad trip.
Yeah.
This has been a few days of pure hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, because she is a flight attendant, so at least she can get home for free, because otherwise you're over there like, man, I need to scrounge up a bus ticket to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, really.
But we had such a fun time because she was a big gregarious personality, and she was fun, even though she was mad at me because I was playing wrong, because I hit on a 12, but and everyone had enough number cards that if I would have stayed on 12... the dealer could have busted
yeah.
and would have because I ended up getting a king and I busted. But it's 5 a.m, dude. What do you want me to count? It's not like we're playing this game at 10 p.m. and I should have my bearings around me. It's 5 a.m.
Also, I'm sorry, Spirit, but I didn't know what to hit, but the dealer didn't either. The dealer had no idea what she was doing. She kept counting wrong. She was giving out the wrong money. She gave you more money than she should have at one point, and I was just, shut up. Keep your mouth shut. She had no idea what she was doing.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
Yeah, I remember one time I left to go pee, and I came back, and the mood had changed, and the pit boss was over there, and I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, I won a hand, but she messed up, so now nobody won.
Yeah, hit blackjack.
Blackjack, and then they wouldn't pay me because the dealer made a mistake.
She skipped a person.
She skipped a person by accident.
So you shouldn't have gotten the blackjack because that second card should have been someone else's.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
It would have been mine. I would have hit blackjack, but that's why I was like...
Give it to somebody.
I was like, what are we doing? This is not our fault. This is the dealer's fault.
But take I guess it if, up with the commission.
Yeah. Take it up with De Niro. Isn't he in charge of Vegas?
Imagine if we had a lot of money and we were petty. We'd hire a lawyer and go, and it would be in court. Be like, all right, it's 5:15 a.m. She got a blackjack, and then we're trying to make our case, and a judge is like, Jesus, dude.
You spent $10,000 on a lawyer to win literally $13?
$13.
It's the principle.
It's the principle. Yeah. But we were having a great time. For a while, some stoner-looking college kids showed up, and they were great. They didn't say much.
They were having a great time.
And then they left, and Kenny Powers without personality showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
This dude came out. He had fake teeth. You could tell.
There were big chompers.
Big fake chompers. You can tell they were stuck in there with some dentine ice. and he came in with a real methy-looking lady.
Yes.
Methy-looking lady's off to the side. Somewhere during the evening, she ends up disappearing. I don't know where she went. But as soon as he sat down, the mood at the table changed. That's how – when people just have a bad aura about them? That's what this guy had. He sat down, and the entire fun-loving exchange we had with these strangers and us was now gone. Even the dealer, whoever the dealer was at the time, we were like, it was fun. And then as soon as he sat down, this black storm cloud came over. And everyone could feel it, and I went, yes, this is going to be good. And he immediately starts smoking, which you can do in Vegas. You can smoke indoors. And the flight attendant who's next to him is like, oh, she's doing this. And he's like, what? Well, this is Las Vegas, sweetheart. Can I get an ashtray? He was full on Kenny Powers without the charm that Kenny Powers had.
I would also like to point out he had two Zins in.
Yes.
He had a Zin in each side of his mouth plus a cigarette.
Oh,
the guy is full on crazy person.
He was on, I think he was on, or maybe that's what it was. I thought he was on cocaine because I was watching his jaw. But
I saw him poking out. I saw the little Zins.
Okay.
From one Zinner to another, I saw it.
Yeah. So he's got nicotine is coursing through his veins like steroids through the Ultimate Warrior in 1990. and on top of that, he's drinking heavy, whatever he's drinking, and he's smoking. And his entire energy just ruins the table.
Yeah, it was
and
really...
slowly, arguments start pattering up between him and the flight attendant, mostly around the smoking. But then he's like trying to make up for it by like if someone wins, he's like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she leaves him hanging, no high five. And I'm like, oh, this is great. This is like a novel I'd read at the airport. And then, what did he say that set you off, Mike? He, like, asked a woman to smile.
He asked the flight attendant, he said, he goes, come on, sweetheart, smile more. And then I was like, oh, God. Like, because I was also pretty drunk.
Yes.
At that point, said, I'm like, I have a very high tolerance for bullshit. I like to sit back and watch.
Yes.
But, like, at a certain point and a certain level of alcohol, I'm like, no, I can't sit back and just allow this to happen.
Yep.
For whatever reason, I don't know why I have this like hero complex when I'm like hammered. I'm like, I gotta stand up for what's right.
Because you're 8 feet tall, you gotta go do stuff.
It's the only privilege I have. Yeah, it's my white tall privilege. I'm like, I got it. Take my glasses off, pull my cape out. Yeah, it was.
And then you start chirping at him.
Well, I turned to you guys, and I was like, bro, like I was trying. I was like, you know,
saying
just trying
to
say
us,
to you without, you know. And then he goes. He goes. He's like, "Hey, what are you broing? What are you broing?" And then I was just like, "You, man." I was like, "You." Like, I wasn't trying to talk to you, but it's you. You're, and I just started going off on him. Like, you're coming here, we're having a vibe. You're telling this woman to smile more. Like, what year is it? It's like, yes. Just relax, man.
I remember that phrase. What year is it? Yeah. And I remember that phrase that you said really stuck with me because I was looking at him. Looking at the smoke in the air, looking at the casino we're at, and I'm like, what year is it? I'm not 100% sure what year it is. You know?
You thought I was asking you? You zoned everyone out? You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What is the year?
Yeah, what is happening? And the best part is right before the fight set off, you're like, we should get out of here. It's 5 a.m. I'm like, it's not 5 a.m. And then the argument set off. And I'm like, this feels like 5 a.m. This feels like it. And then the pit boss came by and kicked both you and him out of the table.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so we joined out of solidarity and because it's 5 a.m. Imagine if we were so itchy on gambling. We're like, well, see you at the
you
show.
Later,
see you tomorrow, bud. Okay.
You want to meet at the Subway in 5 minutes? Let us clean up.
Well, that was his second time being told to shut up and they were going to clear him out. And then I guess our fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, joke's on you, Nugget. You already got my money.
Yeah.
I ended up with $5 after winning at the Aria, winning at the Nugget. I won like probably $400 or $500 over that night, like over the course of the night. And it went all into the golden nugget.
I think I think that's how old Vegas stays intact is people go win their money at the Aria. And then they're like, let's start slumming it. And then they go over to Old Vegas. The next thing you know, the Nugget's like, yeah, we're open. We're open 24 hours. You want to play $5 blackjack? We'll play $5 blackjack. These dealers don't even know the game.
Like, she had no idea.
You think she can count to 21? Bet you she can. And then come on in. And then they slowly siphon your money away. But we're left with the stories.
She kept saying, please don't. Like, what does the book say? She'd be like, please don't ask me. Please don't. Because you're going to blame me. Because I hate winning. It's like, this poor girl. She seems so sweet, though.
Yeah, she was very nice.
The best. I was so happy to lose money at that table.
And she would tell me what to do. I'm like, what do the books say? She'd be like, stay.
Yeah.
Stay. And then she was wrong.
Well, the odds are still in the house's favor.
Yeah.
So, like, she can tell you the book and go, yeah, you shouldn't hit, but I could also still win.
Yeah.
It's just the odds are you shouldn't because you might bust.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, like, the flight attendant was trying to win her money back. I sat down with the idea of I'm never seeing this money again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just here for the free drinks.
Yep.
Which you were laughing at me because the drink person would come by and I'd be like, another Michelob Ultra, let's go. And then towards the end, I'm like, what are you drinking? Whiskey? Whiskey and a Michelob Ultra. And you're over here like, why are you drinking so much?
I just remember looking over and there were 4 bottles and we had only sat down for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's the Nugget.
And I'm like, what?
And you know what it is? It's my mentality of when I was 21 and we first went to Vegas, we would sit at the old Sahara Hotel. They had $1 blackjack at the NASCAR Cafe. And Dane and I would sit there late just like this and we would lose money. We never had the intention that we were going to win, but you get to drink for free.
Mm-hmm.
So being on a budget and being broke, that was your way of drinking for free, was sitting and playing $1 blackjack, chugging beers and cocktails. But now, being it's so late and so many drinks in me, I went back to 21-year-old mentality instead of realizing that Michelob Ultra's $4. You can just buy it. Like, you don't have to slam them, you know? But I was like, well, they're taking my money. I got to get something for it.
Yeah.
2 Michelob Ultras, whiskey and a Coke. What do you want? You want something? Let's get everybody something.
Get her, she's running away. Get her some meth. But also, what are you going to do? It's 5 o'clock in the morning at the Gold Nugget. Like, we doing this sober?
Yeah,
like,
you can do it.
I got a club soda.
Dude,
they'll punch you in the face for that.
If you're sober at 5 a.m. playing $5 hand blackjack, that's I think they should come by and pin the pamphlet to your shirt.
Like, staple it to your chest.
They're like, here you go. When you're done, take this a good read. Take it a good read. Meeting's on Saturday. We'll see you then. But, yeah, what a good time. What a good time.
Absolute blast.
What a, and
plus a dinner right beforehand.
Yeah, we went to that place. Oh, yeah. What was that? They were a little, they rushed us out of there because we showed up late.
We showed up pretty late, yeah.
But the food was really good.
Food was great.
I just remember they showed up with a little pan of nothing but cheese, and I ate an entire block of cheese, I think, mainly by myself. It was the quesadilla, but it was like a deconstructed quesadilla.
Yeah.
So you had to put it in the tortilla yourself. And I just remember it got to a point, probably around the second cocktail, where I'm just skipping the tortilla part and just spooning cheese into my face. And I was like, this is a vacation.
You're very good at eating cheese.
I'm like, I might be the best at eating cheese. Mm-hmm. I think being Hungarian, I don't know if Hungarians are known for our cheese, but just, I guess, being European, I can plow through some cheese. Tell you that. Tell you that for free.
I'm trying to figure out the name of the place we went to, but it's
not showing
up. I can
text Mark and find out, but it was funny because he was in contact with the restaurant because I think our reservations were for 11, and we got out of the club late, show whatever goes long, and we get over there, it's like 11:30, so he was in contact with them like, oh, we're coming from a show, and he mentioned that we were comedians, so when we walked in, the hostess, who's like this young, like 20-year-old, whatever, and she's like, oh, these are the comedians? And I could see the disappointment on her face, like she just registered, like, oh yeah, not all comedians are Matt Rife. Like, you can be not famous and still tell jokes.
The emphasis was not on comedians, which it should be, it was on these. It's not, these are the comedians? No, it's, these are the comedians? It's really, really one transfer of that emphasis really got me right in the gut.
Yeah, she looked very disappointed.
I felt like she was like, it was almost like she was talking to us with the disappointment of like a sibling who had gone off to get a master's degree in bioscience. And then we come in, I'm like, I just told jokes at a place called Wise Guys. And she's like, oh, you're the comedian. And I'm like, you know? It just made me second guess every life decision I've ever made.
He's like, oh, Zoltan, I assumed that was a fake name.
Yeah.
For Ray Romano. I don't know. I guess I was expecting Brad Garrett at least to come in the door. Nobody's named Zoltan.
I'll take a George Wallace, please. Come on, bring in George Wallace. Yeah, I remember the disappointment in her eyes, and then we sat down. But I remember the food and the cocktails were really good. Mm-hmm. I was slamming those old
I was
fashions.
Very shocked.
You were shocked?
I don't know why. I just because I assume resort, like, you know, that type of place is just going to be kind of standard, you know, BS hotel food. But
no.
It was great.
I think Vegas, and I don't think this is new either, but at least more so in the last 10 years, I think Vegas is really pushing their food scene. Their food's really good. That Carver Steakhouse we went to Thursday, it was one of the best meals I've ever had. Yeah.
I guess I assume that, because they just leased that space out.
Yeah.
I assume, like in my mind, because most resorts are just like the resort owns whatever's in there, and then they're just cutting costs. You know, it's garbage food, but the Vegas is different. So it was delicious, yeah.
Yeah, they have a bunch of great, like I remember when I used to work at the Four Queens, they have the 24-hour Subway, which I ate at, but they had a place called Hugo's Cellar, which I looked up. It's one of the better steakhouses in Vegas that you can go to, and it's in the old Four Queens, older hotel, and it's like in a lot of, what's it say, Mike? I know you're looking it up. Hugo's Cellar.
Hugo's Cellar, 4.6 stars.
Yeah.
Four money signs, $4 signs.
It's expensive. I never ate there.
And it is right next to the Subway.
Yes, it's right next to the 24-hour Subway with the wheelchair elevator lift, so you can get up to the thing.
It's $4 signs, and then if I look at the Subway, it's BOGO, 50% off footlongs. Yeah. It's a real dichotomy of what's going on in Vegas. Sense.
So yeah, we could go spend, I don't know, $500 on steaks, depending on the amount of people we have at Hugo's Cellar, or you could get a $5 footlong and take the elevator, the disabled elevator up to the top.
Or you could get the footlong cookie for dessert.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the new items at Subway?
Footlong churros?
They have footlong churros. They get a footlong cookie. Like, they've completely ditched their whole health kick because of the child touching from old fatty.
They're really leaning into it.
Yeah. That's the name of the documentary. That they just did.
The child touching from the
fatty.
Well, once they found him, they're like, all right, we got to lose him. And then I even stopped eating at Subway for a while because I'm like, I'm not supporting that. But then they got wraps. And I'm like, all right, you guys are changing your menu. I'll come back in. And I like their wraps. The wraps are good. But now they're like ditched health. And it's like, you want a foot-long meatball sub? Do you want a foot-long cookie dough raw? You're like, is this what Patrick Mahomes is eating? Isn't he the?
They're called sidekicks.
Yeah, dude, it's amazing.
Which is what it does to your gut after you eat it.
Yeah, your sides kick.
They got a foot-long cookie churro, and they have a foot-long pretzel rod. Which is just like, hey,
that was the other one.
Why don't we just do stadium food from here on out?
I remember when I saw it, we were in it might have been in Vegas that I saw it, but we were in an Uber and I looked out the window and the one that caught my eye was the foot-long pretzel stick because it looked like a cane. It looked like they were selling wooden canes. And I'm like, what is that? And then they're like, foot-long pretzel. And I'm like, whoa. And then next to it, I'm like, foot-long cookie. Jesus. Just pure. Maybe that's Subway's game plan to get back to where they used to be. Is they're going to get their clientele up to about 500 or 600 pounds. Then they're going to find their next Jared. They're going to do their background to make sure he's not a pedo. And then they're going to make him the new Jared and go back to the sandwiches they used to make 20 years ago. I think that's their long term. That's whoever the CEO is. He's like, I got an idea. We make him fat. We find a fat. Get him skinny. That's our new Jared. Doesn't touch kids.
What if we find one that's just already skinny? Huh? They just find one that's already skinny. They're like, you're okay, fine. Skinny guy, eat the cookie. You're good. Like they don't even care about the transformation anymore.
Skinny guy, eat the cookie. Hold up the big jeans. And then,
Were those your jeans? No. I just found these.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is disgusting. I'm trying to find the nutrition facts on this. These
it
side
has
kicks,
to be 3,000 calories.
What's your guess?
1,500 calories. Yeah, because like, if I have to take a guess on 12 inches of cookie,
I'll say.
Good Lord.
2,000.
2,000 calories?
What's your guess, Mike?
Well, I'm looking at it, so I
well,
found
you
it.
You found it.
I would have said 1,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It says the cookie is 1,330 calories per cookie, which is way too many cookies. Although the churro says 190 calories, I cannot believe
I don't
that
believe
to be
that.
True.
190?
There's no way.
No.
Maybe there's like 10 servings, and it's each serving.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be per serving. Yeah.
How many links of the churro did you eat? The whole thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Don't tell me per serving. That's kind of like we went to that salad place in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. and they're like, this is only 500 calories, but you know what 500 calories feels like in your stomach because we've looked at nutrition facts long enough. Mm-hmm. And when I'm done eating that salad that was filled with hummus and quinoa and chicken, and I'm like, that was 1,000 calories. All right, I'm as full as I just ate 1,000 calories. Quit lying. Yeah. You know? It's leaves. That's their argument.
I was having salads this week, but I also made a bunch of like roast beef.
Mm.
Like I slow cooked a bunch of beef, and I was just like piling it into the salad. And I get done eating. I'm like, oh my God, why do I feel bad? I'm like, oh, you just ate a side of beef with your lettuce, you idiot.
You ate a deconstructed footlong that you could have gotten at Subway with roast beef
and
salad.
I could have. It was so stupid.
Oh, that's funny.
Sounds good, though.
That does sound good.
They mislabeled a pork tenderloin as pork fat, so I got a whole pork tenderloin for $1.90.
Whoa.
So I cooked that up, too.
What grocery
Again,
store
why do I feel so bad? I knocked out a whole pork tenderloin in 3 days. This salad's really getting to me. That's what it is.
We do that with loaves of bread that we get at Winners.
Uh-huh.
Winners is like a local place. That's where I got hit on next door by that gay dude. Where I was like, what's a good place to get bread? And this guy wrote Winners. Tell me when you're going. I'll meet you there. I'll bring the mustard or
I'll
something.
I'll bake your loaf.
Yeah. And I was like, and then I looked at my profile picture and I looked kind of gay in my profile picture. So I see where he got there. But then we ended up going to Winners and we got a loaf of sourdough with they put a cheese in the middle. Mm-hmm. They just put a rod of cheese through the middle, black pepper, and we loved it. And I think a loaf of bread between two people should last a week. 2 days.
Yeah.
We were every free moment. Like, I'd come out of the bathroom, Emma would be over there cutting that thing. She'd come back from like taking the laundry down. I'd be over there like, oh, you want to drill this bread some more? And we polished that thing off so fast.
Yeah. You can't have cheese bread laying around the house.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But you know what? Good bread, and I'm assuming it's better made bread than what you get at the grocery store because these high dollar hipsters baked it, and it does give you more energy. Because like I ate a bunch of that bread, and I remember I went for a run, and I hadn't run in a while, and I ran more than I usually did, like do, and I was like, is that because of all that bread I've been eating?
Yeah,
it's just like full of energy,
no sugars and stuff.
Right,
it's crazy what they do to bread.
Yeah.
American bread, huh?
American bread.
American bread filled with French fries and cheese.
What the hell?
Gravy.
You know what's good with this bread? Gravy. Just everything's good with gravy.
What? Well, I mean, that's what biscuits and gravy is. You want some biscuits? How about some thick, fatty white gravy? It's delicious.
I make a great biscuit gravy.
You make it yourself.
It's just bacon fat and flour. Oh. That's all it really is. You're just making a roux and then you put some cream in it.
I'm getting so hungry.
Would you
like to have us over for dinner?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a breakfast item, but we'll eat it anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime. We should come up to the camper this year. Do some grilling, some smoking. Oh, man. No. Just want to get into my zone.
You guys have a camper?
We have an RV upstate.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do go in the summers.
That sounds
a little
cool.
Chalet, a little summer house.
A little chalet.
We have a nice little camper, big deck.
Ooh.
I have a smoker, grill.
Wow.
I'm getting a pizza oven this year.
Wow.
It's going to be a party, dude.
Yeah. We're coming.
I love how camping in America has just turned into, I cook out there.
That's what it is. It's my cooking. It's like some people have a hunting cabin. I have a cooking cabin.
Yeah.
That's where I go to cook meat.
I want to be able to cook in a place that doesn't stink up my apartment.
Sure.
So I got a deck and an RV out in the woods.
That's basically what it is.
And I stink up the woods with my slow cooker.
Yeah. And I built a little outdoor shade shower, so when it gets to be like 100 degrees, I just lay out and just get doused with water for the entire day.
Wow.
It's the best. My beer is just outside the water, so I can. It's incredible.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, we have a boat. It's a blast.
You guys have a boat too?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's not a great boat. Don't get it twisted. It's a friend's boat that we ended up getting.
I think you know who this guy is. This is East Coast Dane.
Yeah.
This is
sure.
Yeah, my best buddy Dane out in, he has all these things you talk about.
Oh,
he has an RV, he has a van, he has a boat. But all these things are like when you were like, it's not a nice boat. It floats. She's seaworthy, but we're
that's
not.
That's what we have.
Yeah, it's not a yacht.
No.
That's
no.
Who yeah, you're East Coast Dane.
It's like an 89 ski boat.
Yeah.
There's a bar across the river that's just full of rednecks every night.
Yes.
It's amazing.
That is Dane.
And they're the same size.
They're
too.
The same. They're giants.
Yeah.
We're both on our health journey. Is that what you meant to say?
I don't mean weight. I mean height.
Yeah,
okay. You guys are both tall.
We do shows up there. We do a monthly at this great brewery. We should come up and do it.
We'll
spend the
weekend.
It'd be awesome.
My August is wide open except for one weekend in Philly.
Great.
So
I mean, this
isn't going to
be a money weekend. It's going to
be
a split the door vacation weekend.
Yeah, it's a vacation
weekend.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
Let's try to plan it.
Yeah, that's like when Dane and all of us for his bachelor party went out to Parker, Arizona, and it's Arizona rednecks. So like they just came back from the Capitol. And you could feel it, and it was fun to be around characters, you know, a little dangerous.
Covered in red. What is that? Face paint? Yes. Yes.
So ridiculous.
They're all just talking about catalytic converters and how we took them off.
No, it was all Antifa.
Okay. But we had Matt. We are definitely doing that. How are we doing on time? On the cast?
42.
42, cool.
42?
Because there was...
That's quick.
I had a couple other... we went to Naples this past week.
Oh,
we were down
off
in
the
Florida.
Hook?
Off the Hook Comedy
yeah,
Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Captain Brian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The owner. Nice place. Mm-hmm. They it's even better now because they moved the bar. The bar used to be in the showroom, and they moved it.
Yeah.
And now it's in the back, so it's better. And it's a lot of Florida, like where the club's in a weird place. It's next to the grocery store. It's next to a Publix in the shopping center.
Man.
We show up the first night, most Florida thing ever. There's a Ferrari, red, ruby red Ferrari parked right in front of the club, handicap placard right off the mirror. And I'm like, that should be the Florida state flag.
Yeah.
Just a ruby red with like the oldest man ever coming out of it with primo parking.
But it's just hand accelerator.
Yeah. You know those like lifts they have downstairs where they get to sit? That's what came out of the car. He's like, it just popped him up like he was going to the second level of the subway in Vegas, and it just popped him right up.
It's just a head with legs driving a driving a Ferrari. How did you push the gate? Don't ask questions, man.
Dude, Naples, and I said this to them on stage, Naples, Florida, especially this time of year, it's a mixture of retirees that live there year-round. There's tourists coming in, snowbirders coming in from Canada, a lot of Canadians, a lot of people from Michigan, Ohio. And then just this like rich subsect of people that it feels like the settlement money just came in. Like, these aren't people that started a business and then it went well. These are people that found a way to sue the government through a company that they kind of had no intention of opening. And then they just got this big, it's this... I told it to them on stage, and they were deeply offended by how I described it.
Well, they didn't understand.
Yeah, I think they understood what I was saying. Like, every time I poked fun at money a little bit, they're like, and I was like, I'm not saying you guys aren't rich. You're rich, but there's like obviously no class involved with it.
Yeah.
You guys have like you're like a white trash guy that won the lotto. Like, there's a lot of bad tans and
it's non-pretentious
cards.
Money, but somehow in a bad way.
Yeah.
You figured out how to do that full circle.
Yeah. You're like, you're the kind of rich where in the movie you're like, oh, that's the villain.
Yeah.
You're like, that's the greasy villain.
Yeah.
But I love poking fun at Florida. I remember someone told me, a fan of mine sat in the back, and this guy was laughing in the beginning until I said this one line, because I was like, I love Florida because you guys can do whatever you want here. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you want. The comedy club can be next to the grocery store. There's no rules. Your dumb house can be super tall even if it's right on the water.
Exactly.
You know, but you can't smoke weed. There's no weed allowed, and you won't let drag queens read. So you guys have these weird sticking points on rules where, like, our drag queens need to be illiterate, and weed is not legal. And I could feel from the audience, like, ha ha ha. And then once I hit the drag queen line, and the fan of mine said, yeah, there's this guy next to me, this older guy, and he laughed at everything. But once you said the drag queen line, he didn't laugh again for the rest of the show. Like, it was out of protest. Can you imagine? And I, this guy's not the only one. A lot of people are like this in this day and age. But when you put your own joy of entertainment behind your political and social views, like, that's how much, those are like the people that are like, God, country, my dog, and then my wife. Like, those are those are the people. I'll watch someone who I know for a fact I don't vote the same as. I could put on a Kid Rock song right now and go, I am American badass. Do the whole thing. I love Kid Rock. I know me and that guy don't vote the same on dick. Yeah. Like, nothing do we vote the same on.
No.
I would never let my political or social views get in the way of my good time. You know, but this guy was ha 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 ha, drag queens and reading.
And they shouldn't read.
And I did that in my...
He just got mad at you because of the sentiment, not even because you just mentioned it, because he just really doesn't like them reading.
He really doesn't like them reading. And I just imagine him, because I said that in my first 5 minutes. That meant he was having 4 minutes and 59 seconds of a good time. And then I did an hour. So then he had the next 55 minutes of just...
pure hell.
Just like doing like a game show of trying not to laugh. And I don't know. And I don't know. But it was reading to kids. That's what they're doing down there. But it's like, do they not get it? Like, we're trying to get... First of all, I don't think it was mandatory. Was it mandatory? Like,
no,
these kids
you could get any kid can get out of anything in school with a note.
Yeah.
You don't have to go do sex ed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
If you don't want to.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people that don't know how wieners work.
I don't want other kids seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm the parent for everybody. I don't know why they're all from Georgia.
They are. No, they're not. But it's, I wanted to say on stage, but I don't think I had the courage. I was like, you know, with I think they just wanted the drag queens to read to the kids so they can get them young, so that when they grow up, they don't become bigots like you guys. Yeah. You know, like that. And I think if I said it with that smile, like, bigots like you guys, I think they would have been like, ah, Oh, we didn't know that.
Okay, bigots like us. Do you want me to be one too for this bit? All right.
But yeah, I remember hearing that, and I was like, good, good. Because I'm not an. I know there's a lot of. We live in an era of edgy comedy where like people are like, yeah, I want to walk half the room. I don't want to walk any of the room, but I still want to get my little nuggets in there.
Sure.
You know, I want to slip in my little how do you do's into your, you know, ha, 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 what are we talking about, butter? Let me talk about capitalism. And then, but I slip it in with a little truffle joke, and you guys are like, ah, I think I get what he's talking about. Yeah. You know?
Well, some people don't.
Some people don't. But we, that was.
But he didn't get a refund.
No.
No refund.
No refund.
There's no refunds in Florida. There's no chargebacks. Claudia, you damn. I'm writing you a hard, strong worded letter and going, let you know you screwed the small business out of $160. Is that how much you lost?
Give or take, yeah.
Give or take.
Maybe. Is there no refund policy?
What do you mean? Like, it's a chargeback, so I don't think I can do anything about it.
It's the credit card. Would the company
but you can push back. You can say, no, I sent it. Here's the receipt of delivery.
Oh,
yeah,
she
did.
It.
So see. Oh, usually the customer wins, but I don't know.
She's been in business long enough to know that the customer usually wins in these disputes, but not always. One time I ordered, you know how there's like those fake companies that pop up on Amazon? Like right before the pandemic, remember when they used to make those athletic looking joggers where they're super skinny on your calves?
Yes.
And then they just show it on a buff guy. You ever have those moments, you're like two beers in, you look at the ad, and you're like, if I wore those pants, I think I'd look like that man. And so I ordered these pants from a company that was just a bunch of letters, and it never showed up.
Cool.
And I sent emails, and they're like, oh, and then eventually the company went out of business, and they kept my $50, and I never got my my beefcake sweatpants. and so
it's a beefcake, but across the crotch instead of the butt.
Beefcake.
Didn't
sweatpants.
That happen to Brandon with the? I don't remember what the company was called, but it was like an Invisalign type of company where they
they went out of business. Smile Direct Club went out of business.
He was halfway through his his teeth molding or whatever you call it, and they send you new molds every month or so.
Yeah, to wear.
And then they just stopped sending it because they went out of business.
That's amazing.
I don't know why that's so funny to me. Just someone with a jacked up smile, and then they're like, we're out of business. And I'm like, But I'm all my stuff's still crossed, and they're like, "Yeah, but is it worse?" And they're like, "Kinda, yeah." I thought you guys were combing it one way to get it to go the other way eventually.
Do you know why they went out of business? I'm pretty sure it's because there was no dentists involved.
Yeah,
there was like no medical theory behind it, and they were like people's teeth were falling out of their head.
Probably. Yeah.
People just spitting out teeth with on Smile Direct Club.
Honest with you, dude, if you get the original box for Smile Direct Club and you're just over there putting your teeth in putty and there's no one with a lab coat on and you're just over there boiling it in your own kitchen and you think that it's eventually going to work out, I think it's on you.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you got to go into an office. Sometimes there needs to be a receptionist. It's kind of like when we bought weed in Portugal, and they're like, THC is illegal here, so we have HHC. And I went, I've never heard of that, and I don't want to smoke
like
that.
Delta 9 or
Delta
something.
Delta 9, and then we looked it up when we came back, and they're like,
it's supposed to be really bad.
Yeah, it causes your butthole to fall out or whatever.
My sister took some Delta 9, and the cops had to come because she had such a panic attack.
Oh.
The cops, firefighters, the ambulance, because she thought she was dying.
Yeah, it's supposed to cause like psychosis or
something.
Yeah, no,
that's what
it is. Yeah.
But she did it in front of her children, so at least there's some permanent trauma for them. I was on the phone with her. I was like, yo, can you just put the kids away? And she's like, they're fine. I go, not for long. They might be right now, but this is going to come back.
I think when they put the spit bag over your head because you're spitting at the cops, that might be in a therapy session in the 20s.
No, I think it's going to be a
problem. Oh, my goodness. That is comedy. But yeah. Smile Direct Club went out and screwed everybody over.
Yeah, they're toast, buddy.
But you know who's not going to screw you over? SafeJournal. SafeJournal.co, because me and this young lady, she's running the business, but I drag a lot of the packages to the post office. And then she makes sure that they go into the bottom of the bag. Like, it's one of the things I poke fun at her, because we show up with, they're all labeled, and then there's just a big bin you can throw them into. It's a big open bin.
Sure.
A lot of people have, like, clothing returns and other packages. How do you do's? And then she'll spend like a good 30 to 60 seconds making sure that her stuff's in the bottom. And then she'll put other stuff over it. And I'm like, what are we doing? She goes, I don't want anyone to steal it.
You know how when you go to the grocery store, you grab the stuff in the back, like the milk in the back, and
she does this. Yeah,
I do that.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You know, I just want to make sure it's in the bottom.
Safe.
Yeah.
So, but my point is, that's the level of white glove treatment that you get here at Safe Journal. Yeah. Not only are we shipping it ourselves, not only am I handwriting notes, not only are we dragging it to the post office, we make sure that it goes to the bottom of the bin to make sure no one swipes it, make sure it gets to you, unless your name's Claudia and you screwed us over for three damn journals and $160 while you're living in your highfalutin, pooping in tall cotton mansion in Virginia or Vermont. She can't remember. But the point is, you will get a hard, strong-worded letter from me, I'll tell you. And there might be, it might be signed in a brown smear, which I hope you don't do DNA testing on.
Just finger paint? Something very similar.
I think your question should be, is a dog or human? I live near a park. It could be anything. So
I live near a park and our plumbing's bad. So your call, bud. Who knows?
You tell me how you want it done.
What's it taste like?
Yeah. anyway, but the other thing we did, this is the one thing I wanted to get out before we left, because we went to Naples and we had such a great time down there. And we got to tour a wolf sanctuary in Naples called the Shy Wolf Sanctuary. So big shout out to them. Go check them out if you're in Naples. We had a wonderful time. Got to see all these wolves, which I don't know why that word is hard for me to say, but wolves. I want to say wolves, but it's wolves.
Is it?
Is it? I think there's an L there that you got to hit, and then there's definitely a V right after it.
It's not wolves.
Wolf Blitzer. Wolf Blitzer. But we went over there, and it's a sanctuary, and all these very nice women work at it. And my favorite part of it is, like, while you're looking at these amazingly adorable animals, and you're, like, into them, they tell you their horrific backstory that they have memorized for each one.
Sure.
And you're like, yeah, this over here, this one's a 65% gray wolf. It's a hybrid. And I'm like, oh, wow. And like, yeah, he came to our shelter because he was in an underground wolf fighting league, 38-2. But after his second loss, they tied cinder blocks to his paws and threw him in the lake. Thankfully, a lot of people don't know this. Wolves have webbed toes. So he was able to swim through the cinder blocks and made it to shore and ended up here at the Shy Wolf Sanctuary. Over here, we have a spotted fox. This one survived 9/11, Tower 2, came all the way down, and then saved by Rudy Giuliani. But then he was trapped in the Trump campaign for 5 years and eventually made it here to our wolf. Like, every one of them had a horrific story.
I like that the wolf had, they knew the record. Like, they found out, like, it was tattooed on the wolf.
It was. They knew the bad thing of every animal that happened there, and it comes from a place of love. Like, they love the animals so much that they know their entire backstory. They know, which is great. So these animals are in great hands. Mm-hmm. But it was funny how much they knew. I remember at the end, I was like, "Yeah, we're gonna go to Dunkin' after this." And one of the ladies is like, "Don't go to Dunkin'. I had a sandwich there once. Spent 13 days in the ICU." And you were like, "All right." Well, we've already eaten there like five times this week, so I don't have health insurance, so this could go real south.
But I'm still gonna go.
Yeah, I'm still gonna go.
We went right after.
Yeah, we went right. We went today before we came, and that guy blankly stared at us and gave us a red drink. You know,
I don't want to drink that drink now.
I don't want it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. I saw him shaking it.
Sure. Oh, it was shaken?
Yeah.
Then it must be safe.
Shaken.
It sounds like what's going to happen to you after you drink it. It's the red burst fizz. That's what's going to happen to my tummy.
He was muttering something about Delta 9, but I wasn't listening. It wasn't my native tongue, whatever he was saying. So we got to where we were getting. What happened there?
That Safe Journal was not at the bottom of the barrel, I'll tell you that.
No.
Safe Journal. Safe in multiple ways.
SafeJournal.co. Look, it just fell a good 28 inches and
still intact.
Do you need to write secretly about how your podcast studio might be haunted? Safe Journals.
Is it haunted in here?
Well, it just came off the table.
Oh, I kicked the table.
I was doing a boot. Oh, okay. I was trying to do a bit, but
you got
scared of ghosts for a second? Are we haunted here?
We've had ghost experiences. I got molested by a ghost in Tucson. The Hotel Congress touched my wiener.
Sure. Yeah. That's what I told my ex, too, when
she was right, like, next to me.
What are these videos of? I was like, no, it was a ghost. Sorry, she was very pale. I don't know what to tell you.
No, this is a male
this
ghost.
This is a real thing.
I could feel with the strength of the hands and how he turned. And
sure.
I think that's why I didn't like the way that guy threw the dice at the Aria.
Because it reminded you of
Because it reminded me of how that guy came in. Because he came in, the ghost hand came in, lifted, turned, and that's what the guy was doing with the dice. And I think I now, 2 weeks later, I've now pieced together why I didn't like that guy. That's how I was molested by a ghost at Hotel Congress in Tucson.
Ghosty Weinstein?
Ghosty Weinstein. Billy the Grabby Kid. I think Billy the Kid was busted there. No, it was a mobster.
P. Ghosty? We're going to have some fun. Ghost Diddy?
Have you ever been molested by a ghost?
Man, I wish.
Yeah,
sounds like a good time, I guess. No, I don't think I have. No.
I ended up with a good joke about it, so that's all that matters. Yeah, that's all that matters. But I think that's the episode for this week. How much time are we at?
We're right there at an hour.
An hour, perfect. 60 minutes of a good time, good giggles, and how do you do's. Why don't you get yourself a Safe Journal, safejournal.co. Go to my website, zoltancomedy.com. Come see me live. Check out Mike Albanese. What's your website?
InMyOwnHead.com.
InMyOwnHead.com. Check out Mike, safejournal.co for that. ZoltanComedy.com for me. That's it. Cheers, everybody. Trekking heavier, traveling light. There's one thing that